from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Legislation has been proposed by San Francisco Supervisor and Budget Committee Chair John Avalos that would charge alcohol wholesalers and certain alcohol beverage distributors a fee, which some are calling a tax, that would generate over $16 million to be used for public health and paramedic costs connected to alcohol abuse. The proposed legislation, backed by San Francisco's Department of Health and by one count at least six San Francisco supervisors, is opposed by the mayor and many business people, especially those selling wine, beer, and hard liquor. We'll hear from both sides in the next hour, and we'll include your calls, emails, and online questions and comments after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to the second hour of this morning's forum program. It's called an alcohol mitigation fee by its supporters and a charge for harm by others and a tax by those opposed. 11th District San Francisco Supervisor and Budget Committee Chair John Avalos has proposed legislation that would charge wholesalers of alcohol and certain distributors with a fee just below about 6 cents an ounce on alcohol. The estimated over $16 million that would be generated by the fee would be used to pay for public health and paramedic costs associated with alcohol abuse, prevention and medical treatments, and costs particularly associated with ambulances and emergency room treatment. This would be the first law of its kind to apply revenue from a source like alcohol directly to medical and law enforcement costs to prevent and treat alcohol abuse, and the full San Francisco Board of Supervisors is slated to vote on the matter on the 7th of September. We take it up in this forum hour. Joining us in studio is John Avalos, who is a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Supervisor Avalos, good to have you here.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
Good morning to you. We also say good morning to Rich Higgins, who is brewmaster with Social Kitchen and Brewery. He's in San Francisco's Inner Sunset. They are there as well. And welcome, Rich Higgins.
Thank you very much.
Glad to have you both here with us. And John Avalos, let me begin with you. Let's talk about, get into semantics right away, but is this a sin fee or a sin tax? It's, from your perspective, not a tax.
It's not a tax. It's a fee, and it's been structured as a fee. And it's a fee because we are looking at recovering costs that the city already incurs for the impact of over excessive drinking in San Francisco. And so we've measured that. We've had a study, a Nexus study, to measure the relationship to alcohol and the impacts that we have here in the city and the cost to the city. And that study yielded about $17.7 million in impacts, cost to the city for alcohol consumption, over excessive alcohol consumption.
And what we're talking about here is a bill, as I said, it's just mainly wholesalers and distributors, not restaurants, it's not bars, it's not retailers.
We were very, very cautious about how we were going to apply this fee, and we wanted to apply it at the wholesaler distributor level. We did not want to have the small retailers who have been hit hard in this economy with the burden of doing all the administrative work on the fee. We thought it'd be easier to apply it at the wholesaler level and also more of the source of where the alcohol is coming from into San Francisco.
In fact, you were convinced to exempt microbrewers and small yield winemakers.
We're considering that. I'm not sure if exempting small businesses is actually going to yield their support. So I'm not sure if it makes sense to actually make that exemption. If we make that exemption, then that will be less funding we'll be able to get to recover costs for services.
The fee, presumably, though, would just be passed on to the consumer. You concede that?
That's what all the wholesalers are saying. The wholesalers have also contracted out to two lobby firms, Barbary Coast and Platinum Advisors, who have been doing a lot of drumbeat on this measure, saying it's going to kill jobs, it's going to kill businesses, and that this is going to be passed on. I think it's important to know that behind their funding is big alcohol and large companies who have a concern about this fee impacting the bottom line.
You can say with certainty that there won't be a job loss here?
Well, there has been analysis from the Comptroller's Office, the Office of Economic Analysis. They've done some projections on what this fee would mean in terms of jobs, and the job loss they've indicated or they've shown is about 50 jobs a year based on the implementation of this fee. Just something else to add as well. this is originally it was the fee was going to be 7 cents per ounce of ethanol. We've now changed that. It's going to be 35 cents on a gallon of beer, $1 on a gallon of wine, and $3.20 on distilled spirits or hard alcohol.
And the change was made because?
It just made it more clear to look at separating those three types of alcohol rather than, having all these different types that we would be able to apply it to and figure out, try to fuss through the measurement of how much ethanol is there in this type of wine versus another type of wine. This made it much more clear for us to move forward with a simple way of doing our administrative work at the city side.
Now, you're pretty clear on how you're going to collect these fees and enforce them?
Yes. Well, the treasurer's office has been doing a lot of work to help us craft this legislation, and through their work and their expertise, there will be billing going to the wholesalers and distributors. It'll happen on a quarterly basis. They'll be billed. They'll have to submit their receipts and show what sales they have in San Francisco, and then they'll be charged accordingly.
And you feel reasonably confident that this will withstand legal scrutiny?
Well, the city attorney has signed the measure as to form, as indicating that he feels that it's possible to protect this in litigation, and he's given me his commitment that he will work towards preserving this legislation, as he's done so with same-sex marriage, as he's done so with other, controversial measures that come before our courts.
Well, you have Mayor Newsom having proposed and we've got to mention that he's in opposition to this proposed legislation, but a 20-cent fee on cigarette packs. Philip Morris has brought a lawsuit. It's still pending, and Mayor Newsom has said this would just be another expensive lawsuit.
Mayor Newsom has not shied away from expensive lawsuits in the past. I think that if we're looking at protecting our services, treatment services, detox services, our emergency transport services, that this would help to fund, it's worth the investment if we can prevail.
There's even been talk about funding some firefighting positions that have been taken.
Right. Well, it's the cost to the city that the Nexus study had measured were about $4 million in transport costs in the fire department. That's a significant amount of money for the fire department. That's about 100 positions.
You need 8 votes. And from what I'm reading, you have maybe 6 now, or how do you figure it?
I have like 6.5. I'm hoping to get 7. And Bevin Dufty, I believe, is the one swing vote, and hoping to have his support as well. Bevin did support a resolution that would have that was supporting statewide legislation that would apply a fee at the statewide level. So he's supported the idea at the statewide level. I'm hoping he can support the idea at the local level.
Statewide level was Jim Beal of San Jose, who put forth 2 things that essentially have not moved anywhere.
They have not moved, and I think that's part of just the weight of the alcohol industry. It's a very, very powerful lobby firm. It's important to note that the alcohol industry, the tobacco industry, and the oil industry have put Prop 26 on the ballot for this November that would create a 2/3 voter threshold for establishing all fees moving forward. So these are firms that have the ability to play at large statewide levels, put a lot of funding into collecting signatures, and move the debate to their favor. And so that's what we're up against. And for me, I just want to make sure that we can have our budget meet the challenges of our services.
Well, let's move the debate forward. John Avalos, again, is a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors behind this legislation, and Rich Higgins is a brewmaster with Social Kitchen and Brewery in San Francisco's Inner Sunset. It's safe to say that you'd like to see Prop 26 in this instance, would you not, Mr. Higgins?
I'm not really,
Well, it would make a fee go to the voters. And
I'm aware of that, but yeah. The fact is, it's not really something that I'm concerned with, because I don't have the ability to weigh in on whether the future of fees throughout the entire state of California should be assessed at which level. But the fact is,
well, but you're against this one. Let's find out why.
I certainly am. Yeah. Well, it hurts small businesses in a number of ways. It also is an unnecessary stigmatization of alcohol. Alcohol is not necessarily an unhealthy or evil product. It's a part of our culture, and it's a big part of our economy. And I don't think that this these sort of fees need to continue to stigmatize this. Furthermore, I don't see it as a fee. I don't see in any way how it can be a fee. It's very much a regressive tax. This hits everyone who consumes alcohol, but only a very, very small fraction of those who use alcohol are the chronic inebriants who end up using the public services.
Then this hits brewers and vintners pretty hard, does it? Because certainly those in favor say it's a trivial kind of fee or tax or whatever you want to call it.
You know, it starts off as trivial, perhaps, because it's such a small it's a small fee per gallon. But it ends up as it goes through the margin chain, it ends up kind of multiplying, exponentially, and it will be passed on to the consumer. You know, even the city controller says that this will be passed on to the consumer in his study on this fee. So we see it very much as a tax. The whole idea that it's assessed at the distribution level, the wholesale level, is kind of a way to it's kind of a red herring. It's a way to basically assess it at a level that people don't have, that consumers don't have a relationship with. Consumers have a relationship with the producers of these beers and with the retail operations where they purchase them. Beers or wines or spirits, but at the distribution level, that's sort of the middleman level, and so no one has a relationship with them out in the marketplace. But the fact is, they are a very important part of our three-tier system for alcohol sale in this country. And when they get assessed a fee, they will then pass it on to the retailer at their standard markup of about 30%, and then the retailer will then be faced with either paying it to the city or passing it on to the consumer, again, with a markup. And so this very easily snowballs from what seems like a small fee into a very large price increase. And higher prices are bad for selling our products. They're bad for the hospitality industry in San Francisco, and they're bad for the small vintners and small brewers and small distillers that are manufacturing these artisanal products in the city.
What do you say to, say, an organization like Marin Institute, which I'm sure you're familiar with, which does a lot of these rather in-depth studies of the effects of alcohol, who have come out and assessed Supervisor Avalos's proposed legislation, said the fee is trivial to consumers and negligible to businesses?
Both of those are entirely wrong, because the fee or the tax will snowball, as I mentioned, so the consumers will be paying a fair amount more. With the fee in place, the price of a six pack of beer at a retail store could go up, anywhere between 35 and 50 cents per six pack, and for an on sale product such as a pint of beer at a restaurant, the price increase would be between 50 cents and 75 cents, and in some places, because of margins and markups, it could go up to a full dollar extra per pint. So, that's definitely going to affect people's attitudes toward purchasing this stuff.
And you don't like the kind of attitude that says that alcohol is, call it a Carrie Nation attitude or something. It's to be linked with tobacco, that it's, an evil to society.
The fact is, there's no healthy way to use tobacco. Moderate alcohol consumption, on the other hand, has been proven in many, many studies, not just a few, but many studies over the years, to be healthy. And, if you're abusing it and using it too much, then that is a problem. But there are other ways to solve this problem. The problem should be addressed so that there are fewer incidents of habitual intoxication, rather than to just, pave the way to continue to be able to reimburse the public safety service to get these, kind of revolving door chronic inebriants in and out of the emergency room.
Well, the city constantly has that sort of chronic problem, as cities do all over the country, and they're saying in these lean times, with emergency rooms getting clogged and with all these ambulances having to be used, this is really a viable source of revenue.
Well, it is a viable source of revenue in that it would produce money for the city to reimburse for these costs. But the fact is, it's an unjust source of revenue, because alcohol seems like the low-hanging fruit, because not everyone drinks it, and because it does end up sending a very, very small portion of the population into the public services. But Supervisor Ellsburn sits with Supervisor Avalos on the Budget and Finance Committee, says that this is a tax. He doesn't think it's going to be legal or fair. The city controller...
Sean Ellsburn said that it would... He calculated somehow, and we might ask how he came to this figure. Maybe John Avalos has an idea, but a $60,000 loss just in sales tax revenue.
Yeah, I mean, the fact is the forecast for job loss or job gain or revenue that this could make are based on a lot of guesses, a lot of fuzzy math. The controller said that the number of alcohol consumers in the city that was used in the Nexus report produced by the Marin Institute is basically a guess. We don't know how many people drink alcohol in the city, and we do not know how much alcohol is sold in the city. The basis for those figures is on the fact that San Francisco has a high tourist population. And so because of that, it's assumed that people, when they come to San Francisco, drink more alcohol than they do, against the statewide average.
Supervisor Avalos, you're going to put in here in terms of quantifying amount of alcohol consumption. Where do you come by those figures? From the controller?
The controller had done the economic analysis study, and they had contracted out to the Lewin Group to do the Nexus study that the fee was based on. So they had done the work over the course of many months to do that. And so I feel that their analysis is pretty accurate. It's important to note also that the economic analyst for the city showed that there would be less than a 1% reduction in consumption, that this would be pretty nominal impact in terms of consumption of alcohol. And again, he noted about 50 job loss, about 50 people a year, over the course of the years that this is going to be enacted. So I don't think that, according to the economic analyst, that the doom and gloom that's out there from the industry is really valid. From our point of view, that we're actually going to have some cost recovery at a very minimal impact to our hospitality industry. It's also important to note in San Francisco, we're different from other places in the rest of California. Consumption of alcohol happens at a much higher rate here in San Francisco. And that wide use of alcohol leads to the impacts that we're measuring in our Nexus study and what we're trying to address with this legislation and with our budget.
What about what Rich Higgins says about stigmatizing even, temperate alcohol use with a fee of this?
Well, I could see how the industry could be sensitive about how they're being cast in this. I am not with a temperance society. I actually enjoy different pints of brew as much as anyone else. In fact, I will go on a trip and we'll try and find a brew pub that I could enjoy because I really like beer and I also like wine. This is not about trying to regulate the consumption of alcohol. It's not about trying to deter people from drinking. It's not to stigmatize alcohol. We are not going to have that kind of impact with this legislation on the hospitality industry. It's really trying to get some cost recovery for the impacts of excessive drinking in the city. And since we have an atmosphere that is conducive to drinking and good times here in the city, that has an impact on the street that I think we as a city are always burdened with trying to fix.
And the loss in sales tax revenue that Supervisor
I don't know how Supervisor Ellsburn had come up with that figure. $60,000 is a minimal impact to the city in terms of loss of sales tax. We probably have other things that would increase the sales tax that are out there as well. So to me, it would be a wash. That's a very minimal difference.
Rich Higgins, you've made the case that this would be passed on to those in your business and certainly then passed on to the consumer. But when John Avalos says it doesn't stigmatize alcohol, gives his own bona fides here as being a consumer of alcohol, and also that what you're not going to see or necessarily experience much job loss, let me hear your counter-argument to those.
Yeah, I'm not sure how the office of the economic I'm mixing up the name on it, but the controller's office, I'm not sure how that prediction can be made that there's not going to be a loss of consumption in the city, because the fact is I'm a consultant with restaurants, so I know the restaurant scene. I know I've got restaurant clients that are hurting right now because of decreased alcoholic beverage sales. Everyone knows that the economy is not doing too well right now, and the first thing that tends to hit is sales of of some luxury items such as expensive wines and expensive spirits and things like that. And so that has completely dropped off, and the hospitality industry is very hurting right now. You see restaurants closing all the time. And the fact is, this is a good time right now for craft beer because it's becoming a more affordable luxury because it has all the same integrity and artisanal process that's, that historically has been attributed to wine. But the fact is, this will hurt us as well. This will hurt the craft beer scene. You know, I'm the president of the San Francisco Brewers Guild. We're a nonprofit trade association in San Francisco. We, together, the seven small craft breweries that we represent, employ over 500 people and generate over $29 million in revenue each year. And we cater to tourists and locals. But the fact is, the locals have shown that they will be drinking less as prices increase. That will hurt the hospitality industry that caters to tourists and locals alike, and tourists will take their money elsewhere. Oakland is doing a great job right now opening some nice restaurants and developing a real, cultural scene. And as that continues to happen, and as drinks and hotels and all this continues to, the prices continue to increase in San Francisco, tourists will take their money elsewhere, and the distributors that distribute the wealth of these amazing craft beers in the city are going to start taking their products elsewhere as well.
This concern about where tourists are going to go as a result of this, you're kind of building into this notion a slippery slope, aren't you? That
without a doubt.
That this will be escalating. In other words, this is incremental. This is a first step, and then there'll be more fees and more fees down the line. You're not talking necessarily about this particular fee, are you?
No, I mean, look at what's been going on in the past few years. You know, we've got a payroll tax as small business owners, which I'm not a small business owner, but the small businesses that I work at, they pay a payroll tax, which is unique to San Francisco. They pay the healthy San Francisco fee, so that gets tacked on to every guest check at a restaurant or at a bar. And and so here's just another fee, or what we argue is a regressive tax that's being added to this as well. And I think, it's a very slippery slope.
But Supervisor Avila says it is not structured as a tax.
Well, I don't see how he can say that, because it gets assessed and it gets paid by every single user of this product. So every, it's a very broad class, and in the words of Supervisor Ellsburn, that's an exponentially larger class than the group of users of the revenue associated with this tax.
If I might jump in.
Yeah, John.
It's assessed at the wholesaler distributor level. It's not assessed at the retail level, at the restaurant level, at the bar level. And it's going directly to our public health services in our fire department, services in our sheriff's department. So that's where the nexus is between alcohol consumption and the impact to our city departments and the services it renders. And therefore, it's not going to our general fund. It's going to recover these costs. And it's not applied directly to the consumer.
And let me mention, since I said that Mayor Newsom is opposed, Mitch Katz and most of the public health officials are on board on this. You can get on board here and pretty much state how you feel about this, or any questions or comments you might have are welcome in this discussion that we're having. You can join us now toll-free. It's 866-733-6786. We welcome your calls. Again, toll-free number for you to call, and you can call now and join the program is 866-733-6786. You can also send us an email to forum@kqed.org, or you can post a question or comment on our website by simply going to kqed.org/forum and clicking on the segment. We'll continue with John Avalos, who is a member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and Rich Higgins, who is brewmaster with a social kitchen and brewery in San Francisco's Inner Sunset. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. You're listening to Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors is considering imposing a fee on alcoholic beverages, which would go to pay for programs associated with alcohol abuse. Critics say the fee would burden business in these already tough economic times. And with us talking about this issue is John Avalos, who has proposed this legislation to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. He's a member of the Board of Supervisors. It will be considered by them on September the 7th. And Rich Higgins with us from the Inner Sunset, where he works as a brewmaster for Social Kitchen and Brewery in San Francisco's Inner Sunset. I just wanted to reiterate something that was said earlier, that the fee would be focused on wholesalers and distributors. And there was a similar statewide bill that was voted down last year in the legislature, put up, I mentioned, by Jim Bill of San Jose. It never even made it out of committee. But this would be the first bill of its kind to go for alcohol abuse. Other fees have been assessed, or taxes, or whatever you want to call them. Some call them regressive taxes, obviously, for educational purposes and the like. But this would be the first of its kind. Let's go to your calls, and we'll go to Menlo Park and welcome Paul. Good morning.
Good morning. I lived in New York City during the great controversy over banning smoking in restaurants, and it happened in two stages, and it was going to be the death of restaurants, and people were going to go to New Jersey to eat because they could smoke there. None of that happened. The restaurants never prospered more. Now I'm hearing that somehow or other a tax, which if I heard you right earlier, amounts to 35 cents on a gallon of beer, which is about 3.5 cents for a bottle, is going to actually discourage people from drinking and kill jobs. And I'm just amazed that we can hear this kind of thing again and again and again from trade associations. And, it happens and then nothing terrible materializes.
Rich Higgins.
There are a couple points there. The idea of smoking in restaurants is, that's deleterious to the hospitality, to the atmosphere, of people eating and dining in a restaurant. Whether or not they smoke, is going to affect whether they enjoy their experience.
There's a phenomenon of secondhand smoke also. I don't know that there's a phenomenon of secondhand booze, but
yeah, I think having people, moderately drinking alcoholic beverages in a restaurant, which humans have been doing for millennia, is really going to be deleterious to a restaurant scene. I understand that.
But the caller's main point is that the restaurants are often complaining about these kinds of things, and they're doing okay in spite of them.
I'm not sure that's going to happen on this one, because the fact is, it starts as 35 cents a gallon for beer, but by the time it goes through the wholesale and it gets marked up by about 30% going from wholesale to retail, and then it gets marked up another 30% or so, that ends up increasing the cost of a six-pack of beer, 30 to 50 cents. And then, for on-premise stuff in restaurants, the same sort of thing is going to happen going through the margin chain. It's going to increase the price of a pint of beer, 50 to 75 cents.
John Avalos.
Just my response on the markup. We are, we're in a market-based economy, and if the markup is too high, it comes down. That's just how our markets work. So the fact that this is going to get passed down in a multiplier effect onto the consumer, I don't buy. And, I actually was really welcoming, had welcomed the change in not having smoking in our restaurants. And I do recall there was a lot of doom and gloom that was proposed by the hospitality industry because of the change in smoking on the premises. And we see now that it didn't have the effect. Currently, we have a lot of bars and restaurants that are still thriving despite our economy, and there are some that are closing down. I don't think that they're closing down basically because of all these costs on them, but they're really about the conditions in the market that make it difficult to have their business be successful. That's really based on the amount of spending power that people have in this recession.
John Avalos, a listener named Paul, wants to know, what's the offset between estimated fees collected and costs already spent on ER and paramedic use? Is it a gain?
I'm sorry, I don't quite.
What's the offset between estimated fees collected and costs already spent on emergency room and paramedic use? Is there a gain? Is it a gain?
We are actually just trying to recover the costs for that and what we've measured for.
You got like $19 million estimated, and this would bring in about $16
million. Right. It's going to be something less than that.
He also wants to know, and does the alcohol industry really think that a small increase at the consumer level is going to cost the industry money? And the answer has already been made pretty clear here today, yes. Kate writes, when will the Board of Supervisors realize the citizens of the city and county of San Francisco aren't an unlimited money pot? All they care about is making sure San Francisco looks pretty for the tourists. But if you actually live here, you get shoved aside. Your electorate isn't an afterthought. And Mildred says, alcohol is a drug. Make no mistake. How much does it cost to treat those afflicted in San Francisco? And what is the impact on a cost for police, emergency rooms, and emergency services? It's a drug that causes people to crash their cars, kill themselves and others, destroy themselves, their families, and lower work productivity. Alcohol's lethal dose is measurable and far more deadly than, for example, cannabis, which strangely remains criminalized. Just because alcohol is in our culture doesn't mean we should bury our heads in the sand about alcohol's myriad harm to us all. And Tony says, it's not a tax, it's a fee. Give me a break. But the real point of this email is the California wine industry. There are somewhere in the neighborhood of 5,000 wineries in this state. Most are very small. Many barely break even in their best years, and every single one contributes to the California economy. I challenge your guest to come up with a method for structuring his fee that will not create havoc in an industry that employs many people, is a major exporter to the rest of the country and the world, and already generates a ton of tax revenue for both the state and federal government. And by the way, DWI arrests involving wine are something like 1% of all the DWIs, at least according to my instructor at the Wine Appreciation Seminar at UC Davis. Well, that may be a biased source, and I don't know about that statistic, but you get the gist of the comment, Supervisor.
Well, you know, just on the Nexus study that was performed, did not show that there was any real change in the distribution of the impacts of based on the type of alcohol that was consumed. Beer, wine, hard liquor, all had their impacts on the city and county and elsewhere in the state of California, in the state of California as well. So, you know, I believe that we're just trying to make sure that we can recover the costs that we incur as a city. It's a quality of life issue. We're trying to make sure that we can have our streets safe. People whose lives are shattered by alcohol can find services and ways to overcome their disease. And this is just one way that we have to recover just part of the costs of the impacts of alcohol. We were very narrow in how we did the Nexus study as well. We did not look at police impacts. We did not look at how outside of our bars in certain parts of the city, there's a lot of public urination. There's a lot of people, a lot of violence that occurs. That was not measured in our Nexus study. And that's one way that we could look at recovering those costs in the future as well. The industry does create these quality of life impacts on San Francisco, and we need to be able to find ways of recovering costs to safeguard everyone in the city.
And this may be a footnote, but an important one nevertheless. There is ongoing fierce controversy over calling alcoholism a disease, as I'm sure you're probably well aware, but we won't necessarily go there. I want to go instead to another email from a listener named John and get your response, Rich Higgins. He says, I'm really getting tired of the use of the term fee these days. The reality is this is a tax that is being used to help pay for the city's operation. I think that any cost traditionally paid for by government should be studied and a fee source identified. By using the term fee, I think it really hides the fact that the city's revenues are down and they are not able or willing to cut their costs to match the decrease in revenue, which is sort of what you were saying before, isn't it, Rich Higgins?
Exactly. And the fact is, you know, there's no nexus. This Nexus study, it's very biased, and it started off as, you know, being called the Charge for Harm bill or Charge for Harm ordinance. And, you know, I'm just not sure that the harm that there's a nexus between the harm and the users of alcohol. You know, there's no nexus between the millions of consumers of alcohol in this city and the harm of some habitual intoxicants. You know, I understand that there are some negative impacts in certain users, but the idea that the whole industry should be taxed, you know, just kind of blindly is very frustrating to me. And the idea that and Supervisor Avalos was mentioning this earlier, the idea that certain restaurants are closing up shop just because of the economy, while other restaurants are just raking it in, making a lot of money, is completely false. But the fact is, the restaurant industry is a very small margin industry. It's a very slim margin. Most restaurants can be successful for years and make only, you know, 2% profits in a year. And it's the same thing with the wine industry, as that other emailer emailed in. I mean, just the margins that we work on are so slim, and we're not. I don't think it's fair to be taxed this, you know, this aggressively on it.
Let me get more of our callers
on.
John
Hubble, about just how government has not been cutting back. We've cut back dramatically. We've closed, you know, $500 million budget deficits over the past couple of years. The year before was a $250 million deficit. We're going to have to close a $700 million deficit for the next fiscal year, and the year after that, we have a proposed $800 million deficit. Each time, we've actually made cuts to our services. Labor unions have given back this year and next year $250 million they've given back. We've had a lot of layoffs. There's a story about Reckon Park layoffs in the Examiner today. There are a lot of ways that we're cutting back on services, and we just can't have the cutback in services because people are going to notice the changes. Muni is operating on a very, very difficult ways for people to actually get to work on time, get to school on time. Our park services are really in bad shape. We don't have enough gardeners. Our public health services are in shambles, and this is what we have to contend with. We need to be able to find sources of
revenue to make sure that we can have the kind of city that people are going to appreciate.
Which is why Rich Higgins and those in his industry are concerned that this is going to set a precedent and then there's going to be more money from them as being the source, that is from their industry as being the source. You can understand their awareness of this.
There are lots of places that we are looking at to find revenue as well. There's going to be a measure on the ballot to look at the sale of property that sold over $5 million to increase the real estate transfer tax. We want to look at progressive ways of looking at revenue, and there are a lot of ways that we have to deal with our budget deficit, and this is just one small way.
Well, let's continue looking at what listeners have to say about this. Michelle, go ahead. You're on.
Yes, hi, it's Michelle Simon. I'm from Marin Institute. I just wanted to correct a couple of things. The idea that the fee will be marked up, the controller's office actually predicted no additional markup other than the fee itself, and any markup that is done at any level by industry is pure profit.
Actually, we should mention, Michelle, thank you for calling in here. The Marin Institute sort of was behind this legislation initially, weren't you? You kind of, in fact, crafted it, as I understand.
Have been proposing in California and nationally, and the idea is simple. We are currently subsidizing the alcohol industry, and make no mistake, these companies are not even based in California. Most of them are foreign-owned. We're talking about Anheuser-Busch InBev, which is based in Belgium. We're talking about Diageo, which owns across the spectrum from Guinness Beer to Smirnoff Vodka, based in London. These companies are flooding our communities with their very dangerous products, and we're not anti-alcohol. I want to make that point clear. We are not neo-prohibitionists. We get called lots of names, but we, just like anyone else, likes to go out for the occasional beer or glass of wine now and then. We're saying these foreign companies need to be held accountable for the harm they are doing in our communities. Someone is paying, right? The $17 million in costs that the controller's office found is being paid currently by taxpayers. All we're saying is let's hold the companies accountable for some of that harm, because they are the ones that are helping to create the market for these products.
Well, Michelle, thank you for your call. And what about that fact, Rich Higgins, that a lot of this is them foreigners, I think is maybe one way of putting it?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, because, you know, the fact is, yeah, there are a lot of foreign-owned alcohol producers that end up selling products in this country. But to blame them and then to assess the fee on the domestic distributors, you know, most of the distributors in the city are, are working with just a small portfolio of brands, and they carry craft beer, they carry artisanal wine, and they're based in San Francisco or they're based in the Bay Area. And, you know, they're not these large, you know, foreign-owned conglomerates that the Marin Institute seems to have its real issue with.
Let me go to more of your emails here. Listener writes, a proposed tax is a good idea because if people drink more alcohol, they should pay more towards the services that they will ultimately need. If people are moderate drinkers, they will not be taxed as heavily. Therefore, they tend to suffer less because of this tax. I've been to many restaurants where a glass of whiskey costs $8 and up. I did not see it slow down. Some people, 30 years ago, gasoline was 25 cents a gallon. People still buy it now when it's upwards of $3.50 a gallon. I think we drive just as much. And Sydney says, I own a nightclub in San Francisco. 2 points. The wholesaler will pass on the tax to us because there are only 4 wholesalers we can choose from. They are basically a monopoly, and we have no choice of wholesalers. Second point is that the supervisor should look at the total impact of this tax along with other fees that will cost jobs, such as 1 percentage point, 12% increase in sales tax. Healthy San Francisco that adds $1.12 per person per hour, 30% increase in workers' comp. This tax might be the last straw for small businesses, and the supervisors should really understand that this will impact jobs. Drew writes, of course Mayor Newsom opposes the tax. He owns alcoholic beverage-based businesses, the Plump Jack franchise, both retail and wholesale, although, of course, it's not, I believe that's in trust now. Sally says, I'm an avid wine and scotch enthusiast. I'm 32 years old. I haven't had a hangover since my first frat party over a dozen years ago. A new tax on wine and liquor only means that I will be shopping for new wine shops outside the city. At an average of $55 per 375 ml bottle of Oselensen, and $175 per bottle of scotch, it's surprising that the city is willing to lose my custom and that of others in my situation. I understand that alcohol abuse costs the city a lot of money, but that is quite literally not my problem. And Amanda says, as a marriage and family therapist intern, as well as over 9 years in mental health worker, I've seen the harrowing effects of chronic problem drinkers on families in the greater community. I applaud this measure, the efforts of Supervisor Avalos and the Marin Institute, and see no difficulty connecting the retailers and wholesale distributors to the treatment and emergency services needed and utilized by those who consume alcohol excessively. Doesn't feel like an alcohol deterrent, but would rather be the very core of responsible alcohol distribution. It's a no-brainer. And Heather says, I'm a firefighter in San Francisco. The problem is not just with chronic inebriants and homeless. Many of our transports are casual drinkers and young kids out partying who overdose or sustain trauma, not to mention drinking and driving. Some nightclubs have EMTs on staff to provide first aid for people who consume too much. The entire city pays the price for these weekend warriors because the patients often do not have health insurance and cannot pay the ambulance and hospital bills. I'll go to more of your calls. Christina, thanks for waiting. Join us on Forum. Good morning.
Hi, I'm Christine calling from San Francisco.
Yeah, hi, Christine. Go ahead.
And first of all, I just wanted to point out that some of the analogies are inappropriate, such as that restaurants don't directly profit from cigarettes. But nonetheless, my point is that as a worker who receives tips, I would like to point out that, and as a drinker in San Francisco restaurants and nightclubs, I would like to point out that what will really end up being affected is waitresses and bartenders' tips. If someone has to pay a dollar extra on a pint of beer or whatever it would be, that's really going to come out to affect, especially bartenders, because waitresses are, you know, expected to give 15 to 20% tip. Bartenders, more casual, people leave a dollar per drink or so, maybe two. This will greatly decrease, and then, therefore, it's really just a hit on the working class is what it's going to affect in the end. The amount of cash people have in their pockets when they leave their job, you know, the paycheck goes to bills or a savings account. People that get tips, that's what they spend more easily.
John Avalos.
Just, you know, according to the analysis and how we apply the fee, it's 35 cents for a gallon of beer, a dollar for a gallon of wine, $3.20 for a gallon of hard liquor. It's about 3.3 cents for a bottle of beer, about 4.7 cents for a glass of wine, and about 3.8 cents for a highball. So we're not talking about a significant impact that this fee would, you know, would dent in a worker's tips.
And you see it differently, Rich Higgins?
I do. Yeah, I absolutely do. You know, you can't argue that higher prices are good for the San Francisco economy. You know, the controller even has recognized that the increase of, you know, a nickel per drink is going to drive down sales, cause the private sector to lose jobs, allow the government to potentially maintain some jobs. You know, that's not, that doesn't sound like a good trade-off to me. But moreover, yeah, as far as the numbers go, it starts off as you know, 35 cents a gallon for beer, and you know that works out to you know, about 16 cents of wholesale tax per six pack of bottles, and that ends up getting marked up 30%. I'm sorry, but that's how things go. There are markups in the economy, and that's, you know, a retailer isn't going to see isn't going to do the math when they see the price of a keg and decide, all right, well, some of that price is this tax, so I'm not going to mark that up. I need to do that math and then just pass that straight on to my customers. That's not going to happen. You know, they're going to continue to just mark this stuff up, and it ends up increasing the prices, and higher prices are bad for our economy.
And on we go to more of our callers. Ross, you're on with us. Thanks for waiting. Good morning.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. Yeah, just a quick comment and then a question. You know, I own a home here in San Francisco. I go out to bars and restaurants. I drink moderately, but I still support this legislation. We're talking, from what I gather from your guests, really pennies per drink, and I just don't see how that's going to lead to all these horrible consequences that that some of your callers have pointed out. And I guess just a question for Mr. Higgins. He still really hasn't addressed the actual cost of alcohol that the city incurs and that I, as a taxpayer, have to shell out. And I don't understand how he can sort of sit there and oh, well, it's just a few alcohol abusers, when, you know, the reality is when you go out at night, it's not just, you know, drunks up in the Tenderloin. It's people all over the city, and you see the fire engines, you see the firefighters, you see the ambulances, and I would like him to address that issue.
Richard Higgins.
At night, millions of people, or I guess not millions, hundreds of thousands of people are drinking in the city, and they are buying millions of drinks. And that those numbers are exponentially larger than the numbers of people that end up being a burden on public services. I agree. The people that are too drunk in the streets, that's not a good thing. It's not good for the city. It's not good for public health. I understand that. But I just don't believe that this fee is or this tax is just, to be assessed on the entire hospitality industry and and on the alcohol industry. Furthermore, I think it's going to be pretty expensive to the city because only the state has authority right now to tax alcohol, and the soups or the supervisors are going to be passing an ordinance that would then be probably struck down by the courts and costing the city money as they take it to litigation.
Let me thank Russ for the call. I want to get Guy on next. Guy, thanks for waiting. You're on.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on.
Oh, hello. Sorry. My name is Guy Carson. I'm on the board of directors of the California Music and Culture Association. And I would just like to speak briefly about the affordability of this tax for our members. For the past 8 years, there has been a succession of legislation coming out of the city, which has imposed great burdens on our bottom line. All of our members are hurting. If some are doing well, I'm unaware of them. But this is yet another tax aimed at, offsetting the public health deficit. And although we want money for public services, we're saying we can't afford it. And we've had a lot of people coming up in public testimony saying, look, we can't afford it. Our margins are very, very slim. And it's a very disturbing pattern. I think these are broad societal issues that we need to discuss, and we can put them on the ballot and vote for them. But in general, you cannot continue to tax this small business here in California, or you're going to ruin the only revenue stream you really have here in San Francisco.
These last two calls are pretty significant, Supervisor Avalos, because you have one caller saying it's just pennies, and why don't people who sell spirits take on that responsibility? And here's a caller saying, boy, the margins have gotten so small and the trajectory is more and more and we can't take it anymore.
Businesses are struggling. Part of it is our recession and the overall economy that we're in. We're operating in a world economic crisis, and that leads to the struggles of businesses. A good portion of people in San Francisco and California support the services of healthcare. That's what our Healthy San Francisco fee and program provides. We also make sure that we have good working environments for people working in our industries here in San Francisco, and that's part of the work of doing business here in the city. There was a caller who said that this is not her problem. Well, as a member of the Board of Supervisors, I'm repeatedly asked to fix our problems of the city. One of them is people whose lives are shattered by alcohol, who end up on our streets, who need emergency services, who need treatment. Every year we go through a dog and pony show to cut those services and restore those services. The mayor cuts them. We restore them as members of the Board of Supervisors. And this would help us to stop that back and forth that goes on around these services to make sure that we have enough funding to keep them intact, to be able to save people's lives, to be able to make our streets safer, to be able to make our neighborhoods cleaner. This is really what the impetus behind this legislation is.
And do you have, Rich Higgins, another idea about how to make up this deficit with respect to public health revenue, or where it ought to be coming from more justly than from your industry?
I really don't have an idea, which is why I'm not an elected official. I'm a loyal employee of small business in San Francisco, and I don't have that idea. But moreover, I just see this as it's a crusade against large foreign companies and, blaming them for the actions of habitual intoxicants, and it ends up being the small businesses and the consumers that are going to pay for this.
And Mike joins us next from Sacramento. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for accepting my call. It seems like as Americans, we are used to not addressing the true costs of things. The cost of business and the impacts of business just get ignored, and we expect government to automatically cover it for us and take care of it. It doesn't matter if it's energy or gas consumption or cigarettes. Cigarettes have a cost. When somebody goes out and buys it, they're not paying the cost of that. They're not paying for the medical care they'll need later on. Society gets stuck with that. Alcohol falls into the same realm. There are costs with this, and somebody needs to pay for it. Business has been making a profit at it for decades, centuries, or whatever. As Americans, I think we need to take a better look at how we are funding things. And if you want to call it a use tax, you want to call it whatever, the bottom line is there is that cost of $19 million to the state of, or to the city of San Francisco right now. This is only making up a portion of it, a good portion of it, mind you. But as a citizen, I'm tired of general taxes that we don't have any control over, that we go, here, we're just going to tax you X amount and split it up however we need to make everything hopefully work.
All right, Mike, I'm glad you got that off your chest, especially that last comment, which just seemed to be a little bit of taxpayer revolt and anger. We're coming to the end of this segment. John Avalos, maybe we can say something about... Well, this is going to be decided, presumably, or there's going to be at least an initial decision on September 7th. How can people weigh in, and what are the next steps?
Well, they could contact each of us on the Board of Supervisors at sfgov.org. You'll find our email addresses, or you can, and our phone numbers to contact us and weigh in on it however you would like. Our first vote on the measure will be on September 7th, next Tuesday. Just to add as we close, back in 2008, the voters had approved Prop T. It was like a 61% majority that approved it to create treatment on demand. That's been an unfunded mandate, and this would help us to make sure that we could actually fund that mandate.
Okay, we are out of time. I want to thank John Avalos, supervisor for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, and Rich Higgins, who is a brewmaster with a social kitchen and brewery in the Inner Sunset in San Francisco. And thanks to you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We want to express appreciation for your listenership, and also to our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer. Our executive producer, Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED Public Radio, thank you. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.